Welcome to Campus Stories. This is a 10-part series which examines non-traditional routes to third-level education. This programme series was funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. It is produced and presented by Chloe Liddy Judge and Damien O'Brien. In this programme, we looked at students who did the Access course in UL and now receive the Student Assistance Fund. We talked to one such student called Shane Maloney, who is now doing a postgrad in English Literature.
My name is Shane Maloney. I'm a postgraduate student here in Mary Eye. I went to Our Lady of Lourdes National School and then post-primary to Crescent College Comprehensive.
So, at what point did Shane decide he wanted to go to college?
What happened was I didn't actually intend on going to college till around April of my Leaving Cert year. So I just thought that maybe I'd give it a bash and I'd put it in for the last 2 or 3 months, cram, and hopefully get the points for Mary Eye.
At around the same time, Shane discovers that he may have another option if he didn't get enough points in his Leaving Certificate.
Just after my pre-Leaving Cert examinations, I was called up by both my English teacher and the guidance counsellor in Crescent College to review my results. And I'd done well in English and history and relatively well in art. So both Maura Murphy, the guidance counsellor in Crescent College, and Dermot Cowie, my English teacher, suggested that I apply through the Access programme to come to third level in Mary Eye. I didn't know exactly what the Access programme was, but they explained to me that I would have to get 3 honours in 3 honours subjects, which I did in my pre's, in order to qualify to do the Access programme, which offers financial and academic support when you get to college and for your time there.
So, what were his results in the end?
In the end of my results, I got more than I expected. I got 375, and I was actually hoping that I'd get in through the CAO.
Did he ever consider repeating his Leaving Cert, or was he now certain that he would do the Access course?
Well, I had already repeated fifth year for different reasons. So, there was no way I was going to repeat my Leaving Cert because I didn't want to stay another year in the Crescent, nor did I have the money to go to Bruce. So it was either get it the first time or do the Access course or don't go at all.
So Shane decided to do the Access course. He explained to us exactly what this course is.
The Access programme, it offers two distinct courses. One is for people who just fall short of the points required for a college degree, either in UL or Mary Eye. That goes on for 2 weeks, and it's like an introduction to university course where they do personal development, essay writing, similar to the Foundation Studies course in First Year Arts in Mary Eye. The other one, on the other hand, is a year long, and it's just a more drawn out version of the 2 week access intensive access programme.
And what do they teach on this course?
Yeah, it was how to write essays, as you said, general skills in college, but also stuff like drugs and alcohol awareness, different sociological issues, a bit of psychology thrown in. They're all very, very basic. But it was like a grounding in several different art subjects, so we would have a more informed choice when we got to college about which subjects to pick.
And what were the staff on the Access course like?
The staff were a woman called Paula Fitzell and a guy called Michael Hartnett. But they actually ran the Access programme. Paula's now up in Athlone IT, as far as I know, and Michael is still out there, but they didn't actually teach on the course. Who taught on the course was Geraldine Brosnan from MIC and 2 or 3 other people. I can't remember their names, but they were extremely helpful.
So what were the other people on the Access course like, and has Shane remained in touch with any of them?
Yeah, we've all remained close friends since the Access course. To be honest, I was kind of surprised when I met these people because they were much more we've all remained friends. I meet up with them once a year because there's an access Christmas party that everyone really goes to out in UL each year. But my impression of the people that were in my class at the time was that they were a lot more disadvantaged than I was. And to be honest, I felt like that I was advantaged compared to some of them. So I kind of felt out of place in that environment just for about 2 or 3 days. But as it turned out, we were all in the same situation. It was just that my first impressions were obviously terribly biased.
And what are they doing now?
There's one person who just finished his MA here last year, and there's numerous other people that I've met throughout the year that I've gone on to do either the HDIP, or one is actually a councillor for the Labour Party. One of the girls is working in Granada Television, and others are PE teachers.
We also talked to Nicola Hurley, who told us about what her job entails.
My name is Nicola Hurley and I'm the Access Disability Officer in the college. Basically, my job is to coordinate the services and supports for people who come to the college through various access routes. When I say access routes, we'd include many different target groups under that. Disability would be one, but we'd also have access in the terms of socioeconomic disadvantage. Mature students and travellers and refugees would all come under the heading of access now. So it's all kind of changed. It's become a broader term in a sense.
She told us when and why the job was created.
The job was actually created in 2002, so it's a relatively new position still. Well, I suppose to address the fact that a lot more students with disabilities and, you know, from underrepresented groups, I suppose, in education are coming into third level, and to have really a contact point and a person there to facilitate them, to provide the supports, to chat to them, to see how they're getting on. To assist them with funding applications and all that, whereas before, I suppose, there wasn't as much of an awareness there. And I suppose the whole profile has been, you know, broadened, and there is awareness. It's starting to increase.
Nicola told us what she does to aid students who need financial assistance.
I suppose going through, you know, student assistance, applying for funding, the Millennium Fund, that would also be a huge part of it, people with who need financial assistance.
She also told us a little bit about the access students in Mary Eye.
We have a number of access routes now, and we have a new access policy which has opened up access routes to all the different programmes in the college. So we do at the moment have a pilot programme for access to the BEd, and 22 students have come in on that. We also have students who come in through the access course in UL to the BA. So, you know, we have a number of students now kind of that we would term access students who would have come that route and who would get various supports and financial assistance.
So, what is the Student Assistance Fund? We asked Nicola and Shane the same question.
Well, there's student assistance in the Millennium Fund. The student assistance, I suppose, would be the big one, really. We usually administer that kind of twice per year. There would be a student assistance committee, and students would call to me to fill out a form. They would also need to produce kind of support and documentation receipts. So there's quite a number of things that need to be done. And I suppose chat with them about the application and the reasons for applying. But there would be, you know, there's, you know, especially for people maybe who have childcare costs or, you know, rent, or, you know, find they're facing problems meeting their rent, or if it's a once-off thing or if it's something that comes up each year, that we would definitely look at it. And it is a possibility for a lot of students as well.
Well, it's reserved for people who have done the access course and people who can prove to the Student Assistance Committee that they are financially marginalised. So when applying for the Student Assistance Fund, you have to give all your financial and personal details, and they assess whether or not you're a good candidate to be supported by the fund. Usually the access students, because they've done the access course and they've proved their financial difficulty, will more or less get the fund each year.
And who is eligible?
Every student who's here would be eligible. It's really just a matter of producing the correct documentation and receipts. So, you know, that would be, to go forward to the meeting, that would need to be done. As a ballpark figure, we would have had about 110 applicants there for the first semester. And I suppose it would be kind of, we would have something similar. We'd have a lot of people applying again for the second semester, but we'd also have new applicants, I suppose, maybe final year pressures or exams coming up, but they feel they don't want to be doing their part-time job three nights a week. So, you know, we would have an awful lot. Now, the success rate is dependent on funding, and funding at the moment is quite limited, considering the numbers of students we have, particularly the increase in access students and students with childcare costs. So that would need to be taken into account as well.
Are students ever too embarrassed to come to Nicola for help?
It can be difficult. I mean, I acknowledge the fact that I'm in an open plan office in student services. So it is very difficult to find at times to have a private conversation. But I mean, you know, students can ring me or they can email me and I can organise somewhere else to meet them if that is an issue. And I can understand that it might be, because it is hard to talk about money and to even ask for financial assistance for a lot of students. So there are ways around it, but at the moment we are aware of it and it's just something we're trying to work on, I suppose.
We asked Shane what contact he had with Nicola Hurley.
I've been in contact with her since I came to Mary Eye. Nicola Hurley, her name is, used to be Shire. I made the mistake of calling her that a couple of days ago. But yeah, she's lovely. She's really, really nice. She was respectful towards our situation, and she would never pry too much into either our personal or our financial situations, but would take us at face value, which is an important thing because you're dealing with people in student services, which is pretty much open forum, and you know, people are shy about their personal situations. So she's been excellent. I couldn't have done anything without her.
So how much money can students expect to get from this fund?
I mean, when I was in first year, it was a lot less when I was in first year than it was when I was in fourth year, but my domestic situation changed. I had to move out of my home, which was close to the college, for personal reasons. And when my financial situation changed, my application form obviously changed, so I began to get more in second, third and fourth year of my degree. Now, I don't know if it's like that for the rest of the people who apply, but that's what it was in my case.
It would vary, I suppose. You know, we would have kind of grants of maybe 300 to 400 for books and materials. We would in general give people 600 per semester for childcare. So, you know, it would depend. It's on an individual basis. So we would look at the students' incomings and outgoings and, you know, their kind of expenses and try and give something that is going to actually make a difference, you know.
How much difference can this money make to certain students?
There has been students who haven't, you know, if they haven't got the funding, they may have dropped out. You know, maybe they might be in arrears of rent, being threatened with eviction. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, finances is a big thing of being a college, and, you know, books and materials and that kind of thing. And we are trying to start up an access library as well of books for, particularly for access students, if they can't afford, you know, psychology textbooks in particular, would be very expensive. So we're looking at starting that up as well.
We asked Shane the same question.
It made a huge difference. It enabled me to buy all the books, even incidental things like photocopying cards, in my present situation, to pay rent, to pay bills, different excursions to Dublin that I had to make for my FYP to go into the National Library. Just, yeah, little things like that. It helped.
We asked Shane if he received any other grants or financial aid.
Well, I get the Limerick City VEC grant, which is €1,200, which is great. Split up into three separate, it's given out in three separate checks, one for each time of the year. And also I qualified because of where my mother is living. I qualified for a community welfare scheme, which was like €120, primarily for books and stationery, that is given out by the Our Lady of Lourdes Community Development Project in Weston. And the reason why I got that was because they deemed myself and a couple of other people were representing a marginalised community at third level. And it was also based on the fact that I had went to Our Lady of Lourdes National School, and I was the first person to come to Mary Eye from that. And the affiliation between Mary Eye and Our Lady of Lourdes National School is big with teacher training.
So Shane is now doing an MA. Does he still receive financial assistance from the college?
It's Funny you asked me that question, because I thought once the undergraduate degree ended that you automatically don't qualify for the student assistance, but in fact you do. The postgraduate I'm doing here for, I had applied in UCD and UCC, which I got, but I decided to do it here because I knew I'd be supported financially by the student assistance scheme, and the workload is obviously greater, and the amount of supplies that you need for the MA are much more than you would for the undergrad, so it helped me out a lot.
We asked various students around the college if they knew what the Student Assistance Fund is and if they think it is a good idea.
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
No, I have no idea, sorry.
You might take a guess at what you think it means from the words.
Is it something about financial assistance? No? I mean, it's pretty expensive being a student, all in all included. I mean, I think they should make a fund available for students if they're finding it financially difficult, yeah, definitely. Because it is hard, yeah.
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
I presume it's to help students who are in financial trouble.
And you think it's right for a college to help students like that?
Yeah. And I'd like to find out more information about it.
What do you think is the best way to actually help students like that who might have financial troubles?
Well, when I was in UCG, they had what was called a hardship fund, and it was a grant given to the college by the European Union, and they had a certain amount of money that they had to hand out every year, and if students were in trouble, they would go to the priest and ask them for some trouble with their internet.
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
No, I have no idea.
Would you take a guess on what you think it is?
Students who are maybe financially challenged or something, or
and
need help.
Do you think it's right for the college to help students like that?
Of course it is.
And what do you think is the best way for college to help?
Maybe materials, books, they should be all subsidised.
Do you know what the student...
Well, yes, it's for people who have financial hardship.
And you think it's good for college to help people like that?
Oh yes, of course. I mean, if I needed it myself, I'd be very grateful, wouldn't I?
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
I don't, actually.
Take a guess?
Assistance Fund, it would have something to do with maybe mature students or something coming back to college or something like that.
Do you think it's right for a college to help people with financial difficulties?
Definitely. I think that I think the grant is one thing, but I think people probably do have financial difficulties, there should be maybe some allowance, maybe there should be maybe a government grant depending on means tested or whatever, you know.
Do you know what a student assistance fund is?
I honestly don't have a clue.
Think you could warrant a guess?
Some sort of grant to students.
And do you think it's right for college to help people out like that financially?
I think every student deserves it, whether or not their parents are well off or not, because sometimes students don't get supported by their parents and sometimes they live away from home for most of the year, so...
What do you think is the best way for college to help someone?
Well, I suppose the way it's done now, it depends on kind of how wealthy your parents are, but a lot of people, let's say, if they're over like 35 or 40 grand a year, they won't get any grant whatsoever.
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
I think that the Student Assistance Fund is money that's given out by the college to people who wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to stay in third level education for financial reasons. As far as I know, I think that lone parents and because some mature students get it, as well as people who might be from a disadvantaged background.
Do you know what the Student Assistance Fund is?
I think it is for people who, because of financial difficulties, might not normally be able to go to college, but thanks to this, they're able to go to college because the colleges give them money to go. And it's not the same, though, as a county council grant. It's money from the college.
We asked Shane if he may go on to do a PhD, and if so, if he will receive further financial assistance.
I think the grants from the college end after one postgraduate. The grant from the Limerick City VEC definitely does. So there would be a financial question, although I am 24 now, so I'm sure I can get over that. The question of whether or not I'm going to go on to do a PhD, I'm still up in the air with it, to be honest. There's a strong possibility, but I'm going to judge from both my dissertation and my grades. Well, I let them judge me, and if they're good enough, I will, and if they're not, then I guess fate dictates that I'm not meant to do a PhD.
We asked Nicola Hurley what her goals for the future are.
Well, I suppose we've started with a new access policy now, which we're hoping to implement now for the for 2006 and 07. So to just broaden the access routes and, I suppose, be a bit more visible on campus, and that students know where I am and they're not afraid to approach us. And I suppose long term we would like to see a separate area for access, you know, a kind of designated space, both for kind of services and for equipment and supports and everything as well. So that's something that we are hoping to do in the future.
This programme is part of a 10-part series funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. We would like to thank everyone who participated in this programme and to wish them well in the future. This programme was produced and presented by Damien O'Brien and Chloe Liddy-Judge.